What a weekend of football in the city of Pittsburgh. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Around the 412 on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Smitty. No Tyler with me this week. I am flying solo for this episode. Tyler had something happen in his family. Don't want to elaborate on that further. That's for him to do if he so chooses. But I'm thinking of Tyler and his entire family at this time. That's all I'll say. Being the close relationship that we have with all of you guys, all of our listeners and followers, I hope that you pass along the same. With that being said, normally we don't talk about college football on here. This is typically just a professional sports of Pittsburgh show. However, Kenny Pickett, Pat Narduzzi, and the rest of the Pitt Panthers deserve a small, small portion of this first segment on Around the 412. What they did in the ACC Championship game on Saturday is potentially program changing. And I say that because I understand this was the last ride for Kenny Pickett. He's got one final game, Peach Bowl, Thursday, December 30th against Michigan State. However, what this could do for potential recruiting down the line, this is culture changing. This is program changing, potentially. We'll see if it plays out the way that I think this could. But an absolutely massive win for Pitt. When Pat Narduzzi came here, former defensive coordinator at Michigan State, by the way, so I'm not going to say revenge game. I don't think it's one of those situations, but really cool that that's, you know, the biggest game that he's going to have in his coaching tenure so far at Pitt. He's going to come against Michigan State. But yeah, what this could do for the program down the line is just absolutely massive. What Kenny Pickett has done for this program, the way that he's turned around his college career to look like a potential first round pick now. Maybe he stays in the city of Pittsburgh. Who knows? Jordan Addison, potential Biletnikoff winner. Mark Whipple up for assistant coach of all of college football. A lot of really good things happening in the Pitt football program this season. They finally got over that hump. When Pat Narduzzi came here 7 years ago, he said that this was the goal, obviously. Why wouldn't he say that? It took him 7 years to do, but he held good on that promise of getting this team an ACC championship. So shout out to Pat Narduzzi. Shout out to Kenny Pickett. Shout out to the rest of the Pitt Panthers. That defense yesterday, it didn't look good at first. They were picking on the defensive backs. That second half was as good of a defensive performance as I've seen, not just from Pitt's defense as of late, in recent memory, but anywhere. Turnovers, two pick sixes. Fantastic stuff on the defensive side of the football. They were creating pressure all night, and I think that that was the big thing, is Hartman, in his mind, even when Pitt wasn't creating pressure, they were creating pressure in the mind of Sam Hartman. So shout out to the 2021 ACC champion Pittsburgh Panthers. Next, the Pittsburgh Steelers and their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. They won a football game on Sunday that was pretty important for them to win. Any chance that they have left of making a playoff run or a playoff push here, they needed this win on Sunday, and they got it. 20-19 over the Baltimore Ravens at Heinz Field. I mean, what a game. Pittsburgh's offense really did nothing in the first half, and that's been the story of the season, right? Their offense typically doesn't come to life in the second half much either. The fourth quarter, the Steelers score 17 points on the back of quarterback Ben Roethlisberger going 9-for-10, two touchdowns, and a 158.3 perfect passer rating in that fourth quarter. One day after, a report comes out that he is telling people that he is close with, that he expects this to be his last season. Does he still have something left? I think on Sunday he showed that while the skills are obviously diminishing, he cannot play at the same level. He needs a lot of things to go right around him to be able to make things happen. From a standpoint of that clutch factor, so that there's things that you can't teach, is something he's been able to do his entire career, late in games and in the fourth quarter. That's not going anywhere. And every once in a while, he'll still give you one of those classic Ben moments. And I think that we saw one on Sunday. Deontay Johnson, shout out to him. But how about the defense in this one? Because Chris Wormley, a little bit of a revenge game. I mentioned I didn't think like Pat Narduzzi going to his Mission State was necessarily a revenge game just because he chose to take a head coaching opportunity. But Chris Wormley getting traded in the division from the Ravens to the Steelers. When you get traded in the division like that, and Mike Tomlin alluded to this, that kind of tells you what a team thinks of you. The Ravens thought so little of Chris Wormley that they could give him to a division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris Wormley, 2.5 sacks in this game. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this was probably his best game in the NFL. TJ Watt, what more can we say? I can't wait for him to not win Defensive Player of the Year again this season. When at the end of the season, I fully expect to look at all the stats across the board and see that he is a very deserving winner of the award. 3.5 sacks for Mr. TJ Watt on Sunday. They could not do anything to stop this pass rush. That's the Ravens offensive line that I mean. Somehow, the Steelers offensive line was the better of the two offensive lines in this one. I wonder what it would have been like for the Ravens if they didn't have a guy like Lamar Jackson with that mobility back there. It would have been very interesting. The Steelers could have had 8 or 9 sacks in this game, potentially. Imagine if the quarterbacks were flipped. That's an interesting thing to think about. But it really came down to a 2-point conversion attempt. The Ravens could have tied it. They could have kicked an extra point. Justin Tucker, that's automatic, right? 20-20 and gone to overtime. John Harbaugh, a notoriously aggressive coach who has even said, he asked Lamar a lot of the time, what do you want to do? Do you want to go for this? Did that happen tonight? I'm sorry, Sunday night? Potentially. I don't know. Maybe we find out. Because he's going to have to probably answer a lot of questions about this. But he goes for 2. And TJ Watt actually nearly knocks the pass down, but he does get it out towards Mark Andrews, a little bit too far out in front. Incompletion. Pittsburgh, all they have to do is recover an onside kick, and they win the game. They do that. Trey Norwood recovers the onside kick. So Pittsburgh walks away victors, 6-5-1 now. They are very much in the playoff mix. Now, with the schedule they have left, and with the way that the Steelers have been up and down all season, is it going to mean anything? All it means is that they still have a lot of games in front of them to do damage. They don't control their own destiny because right now they're sitting outside of the playoff picture. However, they're still very much in the thick of things, and these games are going to be interesting, and what more can you ask for in December and January than meaningful football games? Short week. They get the Vikings on Thursday Night Football on a short week for both teams, with Minnesota losing to the Detroit Lions. So this is going to be very interesting. I want to preview this game a little bit, talk a little bit more about the Steelers' performance on Sunday against the Ravens. We're going to do that. We'll be right back. This is Around the 412 on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Back to Around the 412 on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I am Smitty. I do want to say, too, man, I have had so much fun at every single Steeler game this year, and I am just taking every one in stride and just enjoying them. When 2020 took that away from me, man, like I wasn't sure that we were going to get it back. Honestly, there was a point in time where I was like, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to go to another Steeler game. Not to be dramatic, but legitimately, that crossed my mind. So to be able to go to these tailgates and hang out with everybody, not named Zach Celadonia, by the way, it's been special. And I definitely am not taking any more of these for granted, just as I won't be taking watching the final games, most likely, of Ben Roethlisberger's career for granted. We had another classic Steelers-Ravens Big Ben moment in this game on Sunday. Really, the entire fourth quarter was just vintage Ben. I mentioned it in the last segment. Perfect passer rating, only one incompletion, 2 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. 2-point conversion to Pat Freiermuth. This was special. This was another chapter in a very historic Steelers-Ravens rivalry. Likely the last time that Ben will see them at Heinz. And what a way to go out. I know that people have mixed feelings about this guy, about their quarterback, mainly for off-the-field stuff. We got to appreciate these last few games that he has, that we have with him, before it's too late. Because this is absolutely going to be one of those scenarios where, down the line, we're going to realize how good we had it and how much we took it for granted. There is no guarantee that the Steelers go out and hit on the next quarterback that they take. We haven't had to worry about finding a franchise guy since 2004. Do you know how ridiculous that is? Look around the league. Look at these other teams, seemingly every year, wondering if they have their guy. We've known that we've had our guy for a very long time. Now the next guy? Maybe not so much. Should Ben have maybe called it a career a year or two earlier? Maybe. Who am I to tell Ben Roethlisberger when it's time to hang him up? That's what I want to know. Who am I to tell him that? Moving on. One more chapter in Ben Roethlisberger's career, as it winds down, will be written on Thursday night against the Vikings. Going to Minnesota, I assume we're going to get a very upset Minnesota Vikings squad handing the Detroit Lions their first win of the season. Adam Thielen also banged up in this game. We know Dalvin Cook's not going to play. What's Minnesota going to look like here? Because on one side of the coin, like I said, you have the fact that they're coming off a loss. They're still very much in the playoff mix. They need to win football games. And they just gave the Lions their first win of the season, so they're going to be upset about that. But they're also very shorthanded. A lot of injuries, a lot of other things going on with them as well. And they're just such an up-and-down football team. Very much like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Which makes for some good storylines. What do you guys think is going to happen in this game? Let me know in the comments, because I'll be reading them, obviously, well before Thursday's game, so I'll be interested to see what you guys think happens in this one. I've always been, I feel like, a bigger fan of Kirk Cousins than the general consensus thinks of him. I think he's pretty solid. Is he a guy that you're going to win a Super Bowl with? I think that the rest of the pieces need to be really good for that to happen. But I think he's pretty solid. I think he's in a top 12 to 15 guy in this league. Maybe higher. So how do we think that this game goes down? I look at both sides of the football, right? In Minnesota, in Madison, by the way, Alexander Madison, I mentioned that they're not going to have Dalvin Cook. Madison has filled in admirably every time that they've asked him to. Not just, you know, this season, but going back to every game that Dalvin Cook has missed since Madison has been there as well. Madison's done very well for himself. Against the Lions on Sunday, 22 carries for 90 yards. Also caught three balls for 34, so 124 yards from scrimmage. Kirk Cousins, 30 for 40 against the Lions, 340 yards, two touchdowns. Really, the defense is what let them down in this game, and I think that that's why in this one we're looking at strength versus strength and weakness against weakness, if you want to consider the Steelers' offense their weakness right now, because their offense and defense, to me, have kind of been, you know, toe-and-toe here as of late. If the offense is doing okay, then the defense has done bad, done poorly. They've kind of flip-flopped in what they've needed to carry them in games, and that's where they don't have that balance that we're always seeking. They're not playing complementary football. They did a decent job of that, especially in the second half of yesterday's game against Baltimore, though. Really down the stretch, like Najee, I think he had like only 30-some yards still in the third quarter, but the way that he grinded out the yards at the end of the game to set them up, and even Benny Snell a couple times, a couple tough yardage carries. I'm excited for this game against Minnesota. I'm not excited that they have a short week to do it. I think that, in general, Thursday Night Football is horrible for the players. Then we have a lot of guys that are outspoken about that. But I'm excited for this, mainly because Minnesota is a team that we only see every 4 years. Only every 8 years at each other's venue. Minnesota is an interesting team to me, right? I think if you look at the NFC playoff picture, it's a little bit more clear than the AFC. Minnesota is now 5-7. So they absolutely need to have this one to stay in the mix. But you look at the wild card teams right now, Washington and San Fran, who are the last two wild cards, are both 6-6. Philly, first team out right now, they're 6-7. These wild card spots in the NFC are very much up for grabs with anybody. Who's going to seize them? Minnesota? They certainly have a shot. How about in the AFC? Pending a Broncos loss, and they're losing 22-9 on Sunday Night Football as of the time of recording this. The Steelers will be the first team out, meaning the eighth seed currently in the AFC. So that's why, again, I say they don't control their own destiny, but there's still very much, very important games left ahead for them. They are still very much in the thick of things. Steelers versus Vikings. What do I think is going to happen in this one? I think we see a continuation of this game against Baltimore with the offense. And I'll say with the defense as well. I think that Deontay Johnson continues to show what he is, that he is the best receiver on this football team, that he is a star. And I know what I'm saying there. He is a star in the making. I truly believe that. I know that he's had issues with drops in the past. I know that he dropped a potential touch, or not a potential touchdown, it would have been a touchdown today. But the 2020 version of Deontay Johnson doesn't make up for that. The 2021 version of Deontay Johnson, who put in all the offseason work, absolutely did. Look at how he responded to dropping that pass. Look at the second half that he had. That fourth quarter. That's how you want a guy like that to respond, a future building block of this team and of this offense. I think Deontay Johnson continues to show the world what he's capable of on a national stage on Thursday night. On the defensive side of things, the thing that was most curious to me was Akello Witherspoon getting the start in this one. James Pierre, I guess, kind of in the doghouse right now after that performance against Cincinnati. It's tough because like Pierre's a nice developmental piece. But he absolutely was playing way too many snaps, and he was getting, quite honestly, picked on by Joe Burrow and company. And I worry about the mental aspect of that, because cornerback is such a mental position. And, you know, you hope that he doesn't fall into that same type of thing as like an Artie Burns, right? And I know that no one wants to hear that. I know Artie Burns was a much higher pedigree guy, being that he was a first-round pick, but you know where I'm going with this. When I talk about the mental aspect of playing the position like cornerback. We'll see what this defense is capable of, but I think that we all saw how much of a difference Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt have when those guys are all playing together. It was a good performance on Sunday. Let's see if they can continue it on Thursday, and then we can really start getting excited if they're able to go out and win this football game against Minnesota. Tough stretch ahead, but hey, what more can you ask for? They're in the kitchen, as Mike Tomlin would say, as we approach the time when hell needs to be unleashed here in December. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins a little bit. Let's talk some hockey. Jake Guentzel is on fire. Sid, also quietly maybe for some people, has points in 5 straight as well. We'll talk about that and much more. It's Around the 412 on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. And welcome back to Around the 412 on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I am Smitty. I'm going to wrap up the show talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, since we last spoke to you guys, the Pens won 1-1-1. 3 games, different results in each one. That first one, last Monday night against Calgary, had absolutely no business, honestly, getting a point in that one. They have not found a solution for the way that Calgary plays. They were able to score a power play goal, just kind of the puck going off Jake Guentzel and finding its way into the net on the power play. But Calgary absolutely dominated that game. Tristan Jarry, quite honestly, is the only reason that team got a point. And how many times have we said that this year? Tristan Jarry's been fantastic. Unlike his counterpart, duo member, I don't know what to call him, guy behind him, Casey DeSmith, the backup goaltender, has not been up to the standard of play that you can expect from a backup goaltender. I'm not saying this needs to be a 1A, 1B situation, but they absolutely need somebody to take some of the load off of Tristan Jarry. And right now, you can't trust Casey DeSmith to be that guy. He hasn't been that guy. He hasn't looked good since training camp. You know, what more, I'm not saying what more do we need to see. At what point do we need to seek out another goaltending option? Is it an in-house option, like just seeing if Louis Domingue has anything? Or is the team willing to go outside of the organization to acquire somebody? Because Tristan Jarry, can he handle this workload? That's completely up in the air. And I really don't want to find out. I want to find a solution to what's going on behind Tristan Jarry to feel like he's going to be much fresher going into the playoffs than what it looks like right now. He's on pace to play more games than anybody in the NHL, any goaltender in the NHL. And it's because they can't trust Casey DeSmith. He's only playing back-to-backs right now. They need somebody to take some of this load off of him. They absolutely do. With the way the league is trending right now with all these 1A, 1B situations, I'm not saying that they need that type of goalie brought in, but they need somebody. I'm getting off track here. Sorry. The game against the Oilers on Wednesday night, they lose 5-2. Man, this was the Connor McDavid show. I actually thought the Pens carried play for a good portion of this game. The problem was when they weren't carrying play, they were giving up an odd man rush the other way to Connor McDavid and company. Connor McDavid had four points in this game. It was the Connor McDavid show. We know that he's the best player in the world at this point. When Sidney Crosby steps on the ice against the Oilers, he's no longer the best player in the world. And I hate to say that as a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. He's even the second best player. Leon Draisaitl's ridiculous too. So this one, really just the Connor McDavid show. He actually only held Leon Draisaitl to a point in this one. Maybe surprisingly to some. But Tristan Jarry didn't stand a shot. Way too many odd man rushes. There's very few times where you're going to see a team give up five goals and feel like the goalie really wasn't at fault on any of them. But that's the way that this one felt to me. Not a good performance. Throw it out. Canucks on Saturday night. Finally got to see something from the power play. 5-on-3s. The Canucks were just, they wanted to be in the box, it looked like. For whatever reason, they were just testing the Pens' power play. Over and over again. The Pens cashed in. Jake Guentzel, a hat trick on Saturday. He's the hottest player in the NHL right now. 12-game point streak right now. Sidney Crosby also on a 5-game point streak. But Guentzel gets a hat trick in this one. Everything that he was shooting just seemed to go in. And for as much as no one on this team really wants to do it, and it's in an unconventional way compared to like a Patrick Hornquist type, Jake Guentzel's the one guy that will go to those areas. You know which areas I'm talking about. Those dirty areas, the front of the net. He does those things. All while having a hell of a shot and being a pure goal scorer. He's willing to go to those different areas, score goals. This is a pretty good performance. Tristan Jarry, again, what more can I say about this guy? He has answered the bell every single time. You know, you can come to me about the shootout woes that he's had, actually in their last shootout game against the Flames on Monday. He was okay in the shootout. The Pens shooters were very uninspiring. Other than Chris Letang, who pulled out the patented bicycle kick, backhand hesitation that's so patented that we used to see for years and years when he was pretty much automatic. Other than that, how are you guys feeling about this Pens team right now? Are they being carried by just a couple guys and you think that they need, you know, more depth scoring? Because, you know, Jake Guentzel is really putting this offense on his back right now. Jake Guentzel, 24 points in 23 games. Chris Letang, 16. Chris Letang is tied second on the team right now. 16 points in 20 games. Evan Rodriguez, 16 points in 24 games. We did see some line changes, and I'm curious to get your guys' opinions on that as well in the comments, because that Jeff Carter Zucker Kapanen line, second line that they were thrown out there, wasn't working. Very clear to fans, and finally Sullivan made a switch there, throwing Heinen up in Kapanen's spot, moving Kapanen down with Bluger and McGinn, and then shuffling Zach Aston-Reese down to the fourth line, actually letting Drew O'Connor step in for Sam Lafferty, thank goodness. Can someone explain to me what Sam Lafferty does besides skate fast? Why is this guy playing NHL games? Well, now he's not. Why was he playing NHL games? And what did he see? What did Sullivan see on Monday night to play him again on Wednesday night? I don't get it. Sam Lafferty, to me, brings nothing to the table. Drew O'Connor? Look at the way that he started the season off. I was pretty upset to see him not continue to stay here on the big club. And then you bring him up and he's a healthy scratch. Just an odd situation, but I'm glad that he's back in the lineup. Hopefully that continues until Gino comes back, which is looming. We don't know exactly how long. Sullivan doesn't want to put a timeline on it, which I completely get, because then you're going to have people questioning if he's not back exactly when you say he's going to be. But he's getting closer. Brian Rust is making progress, according to Mike Sullivan. So, you know, you hear these good things. The Pens are obviously staying afloat. I just think they need more from guys like Jeff Carter, from Jason Zucker, from Kasperi Kapanen. And now those guys aren't playing together. It absolutely needs to happen. What do you guys think, though? And this is what I was getting at. This is the question I want to pose to you guys this week. What do you guys want to see the lines look like? Assuming, and this is, you know, when have the Pens ever been fully healthy? But assuming that the Pens get back to full health up front. Because for me, I'll give you guys my answer right now, and you can play off of this if you want. I'm actually keeping that first line intact the way it is. And I'm not just throwing Brian Rust back upon there, because I think Brian Rust is a versatile enough guy. Evan Rodriguez is too, but Evan Rodriguez has been so good with Sid and Jake for getting them going as well. I actually don't hate the idea of Rust playing with Carter and Zucker to see if he can't kickstart those guys. And then you have Gino with Kapanen and Heinen. And then you have the fourth line of Bluger, McGinn, and Aston-Reese. That would be how I come out of this when everybody's fully healthy, at least to start. And you go from there. See how that works out. This team needs Gino back, and I don't know what version of Gino we're going to see come back. But it needs Gino back, not just for the simple addition of adding Evgeny Malkin back to the lineup, but for what it's going to do, I think, in my mind, just based off of the results that they were getting together last year for Kasperi Kapanen. It's almost like adding a second player. And you look at the idea, and they have done it now even without Gino coming back, but breaking up that Carter, Zucker, Kapanen line was absolutely imperative. Their results on both ends of the ice were just awful. They were hurting the team, not just not helping. They were hurting the team when they were out on the ice. So I'm happy to see that that change was made. We'll see what happens. The week ahead for the Pittsburgh Penguins looks like this. They're going to face some old friends on Monday, because for the first time, they will be playing in Seattle against the Seattle Kraken. It's a 10 p.m. Eastern start on Monday. And then they do not play again until Friday in Washington. And then they play Saturday against the Ducks. And guess what? Saturday against the Ducks, the new uniforms are going to be worn that they just broke out. The black version of the reverse retro that they brought out last year. But I like these. You guys can let me know what you think of them as well. Let me know in the comments on that too, because I know that these are very polarizing. So I'm curious to see what you guys think about these. But I'm personally a fan, so you guys can let me know. But that's the week ahead. Seattle, Washington, Anaheim. Seattle is an interesting one because they were so horrible to start the season. They've kind of found their footing. I mean, they're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They are 9-13-2 on the season. They're an expansion team. They haven't had the same success as Vegas right out of the gate, as we saw when they came in, which is kind of expected. They built their team differently, kind of built it from the back up, very defensive heavy. The forward group is okay. Jared McCann's breaking out in a big way there, which we kind of all expected. Brandon Tanev's having a nice year too. So shout out to those guys, two former Penguins. I wish them nothing but the best. Then you got Washington, who's just, I don't know what to say about them. Every year I feel like they're going to fall off. I look at the team on paper and think there's no way they're going to play at that high of a level again. And then they do. Right now, they're first in the Metro, 15-4-6 on the season. Really nice start for Washington. Alex Ovechkin, what more can I say? He is like the Sidney Crosby-Ovechkin rivalry in hockey is kind of like the Steelers-Ravens to me. And I'm going, like, when both those guys, not that Steelers and Ravens are ever going to hang them up as franchises, but when Sid and Ovechkin are both done, there's some guys that obviously, you know, like McDavid's the guy. There's guys that are going to be able to carry the torch, and the NHL is going to be an absolutely fine spot. But watching these battles over the years, you know, Washington fans and Penguins fans both alike can attest to how great this rivalry has been to watch. Head-to-head, every game feels like a playoff game, and I imagine Friday night will be no different. And then Anaheim, sneaky decent team this year. A lot of young talent. Thought they were probably like a year or two away, honestly. They're kind of like the Cincinnati Bengals of the NHL to me. Third in the Pacific right now at 13-8-4. Obviously, John Gibson, the goaltender there who people were clamoring for the Penguins to trade for. Obviously, Ron Hextall was never going to give up that capital to get him. So it'll be an interesting week ahead, especially with that gap in between games there. So I guess, you know, even though we have that gap, we at least have the Steelers on Thursday. So Pens Kraken Monday, Steelers Vikings Thursday night, Pens Caps Friday night, and then Pens Ducks Saturday night. There you go. Pretty decent week in sports. If you ask me, guys, that's all I got for you this week. Look forward to Tyler hopefully being able to get back to us next week and join us. But other than that, you guys got to let me know what you think about the line combinations. You got to let me know what you think about the Steelers' road ahead. Obviously, one more shout-out to Kenny Pickett, Pat Narduzzi, and the 2021 ACC champion Pittsburgh Panthers football team. Other than that, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button down below. Hit that like, hit that notification bell, all that good stuff. Leave us comments. Check out all the other shows on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. But other than that, it's been your boy Smitty. Until next week, I will talk to you guys then. Bye-bye.